Greetings, Internet, and welcome to Getting Work to Work, a weekly podcast for creative professionals and entrepreneurs looking to grow by learning new things, getting inspired, and breaking down the barriers that prevent them from doing the work they were born to do. I'm Chris Martin, and you're listening to Episode 77, Barriers Holding Us Back. Show notes for this episode are available at gwtw.co/77. Are you launching a new product, looking to reimagine your brand, or wanting to find new ways to connect to and grow your audience? Chris Martin Studios can help by crafting storytelling systems of growth for those who dare to build a better world. Head to chrismartinstudios.com to see the latest goods produced. And while you're there, sign up for my weekly email newsletter, The Curiosity Lab. It's a great way to stay connected not only with me, but to meet awesome people changing the world. All right, you ready to get into this topic? Let's get started. It's amazing what can happen when someone outside of your daily life says something so profound that it absolutely changes everything about what you're doing and who you are. An example recently is when I was working on some yard maintenance. Now, yard maintenance to most people is you mow the lawn, maybe you pull a few weeds. But for me, yard maintenance was dealing with over 3 years of overgrowth. That means 3 years of growth on trees, plants, grass, and even dead plants and trees. To me, every time I would go out to deal with my yard, I had the vision of my yard, and I had the vision of the yard debris bin, and they were incongruent with one another. There was so much yard debris potentially going to be generated that it would fill the yard debris bin. And so I would look at the yard, I would look at the bin and be like, well, I'm just going to fill the bin today. And I would fill the bin in about 10 to 20 minutes because there was that much growth. And so I would have to wait 2 weeks for that bin to get emptied. And in 2 weeks, it's amazing how much growth grows in 2 weeks. And so then I would start the process all over again. And this went on for years because I just couldn't see a better way. I couldn't see any other way. All I could think was, well, I have a yard debris bin and I have a smart car. You know what? I'm not going to get yard debris in a smart car. So what do? Well, I just fill the bin and wait. Not the best plan until a friend came over and said, Chris, just start making a pile. We're going to make two piles. We're going to make a pile in the back. We're going to make a pile in the front. And I kid you not, I said, you can do that? How many times has someone come alongside you and said, just make a pile? That could be figuratively, it could be metaphorically. So many things in our life, we just need to make piles so that we can get past those barriers that are holding us back. Then we can make decisions once those piles are made. All right, so we have barriers that are holding us back that we need to make piles of. And so I want to share 10 barriers that are holding us back. First, time. If you really think about time, we hear a lot of different messages about time in our society. And the barriers that are holding us back related to time are that I don't have enough time to do what I need to do. I don't have enough time because I have a day job or I have too much work. I don't have time because I don't have enough work. Time is a foundational barrier for us because how we think about time affects everything that we do. If you find the time by making piles of time, you are going to get more done than if you make excuses for why you can't do something. So time is a major barrier in holding us back. The more you can do little things here and there and make progress over time, the better off you're going to be. Second, money. Think about the barriers relating to money. We might look at what we want to do. We might look at what we want to buy, and we compare it to what's in our bank account, and we immediately think that that's not ever going to happen. I do that all the time. I think about my dreams and my goals, and I look at my bank account. But you know what? It's amazing what you can do when you get creative, when you ask to partner with other people who maybe have money, or maybe you ask people for money. And so when you start making piles of money, I'm not talking about Scrooge McDuck so that we can swim in our money, DuckTales style, but I'm just talking about using chunks of money when we have it smartly in ways that allow us to get closer to what we want to do. So for example, instead of spending $1,000 on new gear, what if you spent, you know, $100 on getting us closer to that $1,000 purchase? Or we just save $100, or we save $10. Putting money in piles is really about saving and delayed gratification. Third, equipment. I don't know about you, but for me, equipment is a huge barrier because a lot of times, especially because of social media and because of the messages that we receive from marketing companies, if you don't have the right equipment, you can't call yourself whatever the label it is that you're calling yourself. For me, if I don't have a Red camera or a professional video production camera, am I really a filmmaker? Am I really a filmmaker if I'm using a DSLR? Am I really a filmmaker if I'm using a $100 camcorder? Well, if I listen to the messages of the media, I'm not. But that is a barrier. That is a major barrier because a camera does not make a filmmaker. Yeah, a camera helps you to have a better product and to have better visuals, but if your story sucks, it doesn't matter. And so equipment, whether you're an artist, whether you're a construction worker, equipment makes a difference, but ultimately it doesn't define who we are or what we're doing. And it can be a major barrier in moving forward into what we want to do for our life and our profession. The fourth barrier that we often deal with is ideas. Think about the last idea that maybe you had, or maybe the last excuse you made about ideas. Well, I don't know if I could be a writer because I don't have enough ideas, or I don't think my ideas are good enough. I run into this all the time with students, and I run into it all the time with myself. Is my idea good enough? I look at what's in, you know, in my catalog of ideas, and I think, I don't know, I don't think that's good enough. And so I don't move forward with an idea. But you know what? With ideas, you need to constantly be generating ideas, coming up with ideas, writing them down, cataloging them, because you aren't going to know in the moment if that idea is good enough, but you need to at least make the effort to pile them up in your sketchbook, in your notebook, in Evernote, in OneNote, in whatever place you have that you catalog and categorize your ideas. And so instead of saying to yourself, I don't have enough ideas, or my ideas aren't good enough, just start collecting them and don't worry about whether they're good enough yet. Because you know what? Your ideas aren't going to be good enough right out of the gate. Doesn't matter, because a malformed idea can be transformed into something beautiful over time. A diamond starts as a chunk of coal, and over time, plus pressure, a piece of coal turns into a diamond. And that's pretty fantastic when we think about that in relationship to our ideas. Fifth, comparison. Comparison is a major barrier that holds everyone back. I look at the work of other filmmakers and I think, man, I'm not good enough. There's no way that I'm ever going to be good enough. And that thought right there, that's my yard debris bin. That thought is, you know what? There's no way that who I am as a person can be distilled into that filmmaker over there. They're just too good, or they just have the right equipment, or they have the right luck, or the right talent, the right story, the right idea, the right amount of money. You know what? Comparison is going to kill you immediately when it comes to your creative career. And you just need to get past that as fast as you possibly can. When you start feeling that connection to comparison and seeing yourself, comparing yourself to the work of others, you need to get past it and through it as fast as you can, because that can hurt you in the long run. The sixth barrier, and I'm going to tread lightly here, but the sixth barrier that holds us back is demographics. Age, gender, and race. Now, societally and culturally speaking, there is very real concern about the role of age, gender, and race in discrimination and how systems hold back age, gender, and race. And I don't want to touch those with a 10-foot pole in this episode because they're controversial and they can be really hard to talk about. But I want to talk about them in the spirit of how we talk to ourselves about our own age, gender, and race. I often hear from students, well, you know, what hope is there for me? I'm 54, 55, 60, 38. The older you get, the harder it is to get past our age. I run into this right now with myself. How could I possibly bring value to a situation because, you know, I'm 38. I can't start over at 38. I can't do this because I'm 38. And that's a major barrier, because instead of thinking about I'm 38, how could I need to think, wow, I'm 38. I have so much more to offer now because of what I've been through in the past 20 years since I was 18. Think about age in that context. Think of what you can bring to the table because of your age. Stop trying to belittle and celebrate the youth because of their age. We often put negative stereotypes on millennials or whatever generation, and we use that as excuse. We use that as limiting factors, and it's horrible. Gender and race function exactly the same way in a lot of ways for ourselves. Well, I can't do that because I'm a man. I can't do that because I'm a woman. Well, you know what? Societally, that unfortunately might happen, but don't let society put you aside. The people that I look up to, men and women, are able to say, I'm going to do this regardless of whether I'm a man or a woman. We need to put age, gender, and race aside as much as we can in order to get past those barriers and be able to make piles of stuff that then we can deal with. The seventh barrier that holds us back are the toxic stories that we tell ourselves that prevent us from really doing it and engaging in our work. I'm going to a summer series right now about being unlimited, and it's about getting past those stories that we tell ourselves. And one of the stories that I've often told myself is that I can't define my life according to what I want to do and what I want to be. I have to have someone else tell me who I am. I have to have someone validate who I think I am. And for 11 years, I followed that pattern to my detriment. I had to have someone tell me who I was. And it has taken me 11 years of being out on my own to be able to get past that and say, no, that is not true. I can define who I am. It can be validated by other people, but at the same time, I have to be the one that puts that forth regardless of what other people think, because I can't let the words of a past boss dictate my future anymore. And that's what I was letting happen. That was the toxic story that I was telling myself and that I still tell myself when I don't think about it. For yourself, your toxic story may be a lot different, but I would encourage you to really think about that barrier, that story that you're telling yourself of why you can't do something. Eighth, certification and education. Who am I? I'm not qualified. Who am I to be a filmmaker? Who am I to have a podcast? Who am I to be a writer? Who am I to be an artist? I'm not qualified. I don't have the certification and education. We run into this all the time in today's society. Now, there are certain things where certification and education is paramount. Medicine, psychology, journalism. There are certain certifications and educational qualities that we need in certain pursuits. But for the most part, for creative professionals, we should not look to certification and education as things to prevent us from doing our work. We need to set out and develop a viewpoint and a vision and a voice for our work. And sometimes certification and education at the wrong time can affect that and hurt that vision. So don't worry about the certification and education. Just get going. Just do it. Just be like what Nike says. Just do it. Don't worry about the education. That comes with time. That comes with doing our work. Ninth, and this is similar to my toxic story, but sometimes we let acceptance and permission get in the way of the work that we do. One of my favorite shows is Chopped. I love Chopped, and oftentimes people look to winning Chopped as gaining acceptance from loved ones. If I win this $10,000, it's going to show my parents that I am on the right path for my career. They're finally going to accept my dream. You know what? I always say when I hear that, no, it's not. That's not going to give acceptance. It might help them see that you're serious and that you have skills, but acceptance is something that is going to hold you back from really going all in on what you want to do. And that permission is much the same. Like, we often want permission from people in power that say, hey, you know what? I give you permission, Chris, to be a filmmaker. Oh, thank you so much. Or I could just go make a film and call myself a filmmaker and continually grow whether I have permission or not. I ultimately don't want permission from other people to be who I'm going to be. I want validation over time, but permission is going to hold me back. I need to give myself permission. Austin Kleon is a great voice that says, you know what? Here is your permission. And I hear that from a lot of creative professionals. Are you seeking permission? Here it is. Go do it. Tenth and finally, a huge barrier in a lot of creative professionals, a huge barrier in myself, is confidence. I don't have enough confidence to do this, or I'm insecure in my ability, so therefore I lack confidence. If confidence is holding you back from making a pile of stuff, you just need to take one step. You need to start doing whether it's good or not. Show it to a trusted source, show it to no one, but take the step, make the effort to act in spite of what you know to be true or what you pretend to be true in your mind. And so really, confidence is really hard to move past because it can be very strong in our minds of, well, I'm just not good enough. Well, you know what? No one's good enough. The difference between those who are good enough are the ones that act versus don't act. The people that are good enough, they may not be good enough in their mind, but they act anyway. I may not be a good enough filmmaker. I may not be a good enough podcaster. I may not be a good enough writer, but you know what I do? I act, I write, I speak, I make. And my confidence grows every time I do that. And that is awesome. So what does this have to do with yard maintenance? What does this have to do with the yard debris bin and the 3 years of overgrowth? Well, you know what? All of these barriers that hold us back are the yard debris bin. They're the things that we compare to reality. And when reality is larger than our limiting beliefs, we don't act. We maybe do a little bit here and there, but we say, well, you know what? I'm good for 2 weeks until this can be emptied again. Well, you know what you need to do? You need to start making piles in each of those categories. So what does a pile look like in time? Take 10 minutes a day to do something. I gave advice to a young creative who wanted to become a graphic designer who had no training and no background in it, but he could draw awesome. You know what I told him? Well, just take 10 minutes a day and do something, draw something, work in Illustrator, learn something. That 10 minutes of time, even if you don't have it, is akin to making a pile. It's ignoring the limiting belief. It's ignoring the yard debris bin and saying, you know what, that doesn't exist. I'm just going to go do something now that will get me to the point where I can make a decision in the future. Whether it's time, money, equipment, ideas, comparison, demographics, toxic stories, certification and education, acceptance and permission, confidence, those are all things that you can build piles with. Now, once those piles are made, it's actually easier to decide what to do next. For me, once the yard debris piles were made, I had to figure out how I was going to get rid of them. And so I asked my stepdad, I said, you have a trailer. Would you be willing to help me take those to the disposal place? And then it's just manual labor at that point, shoveling all of that debris pile into a trailer. It took time and effort, but once that psychological barrier of making a pile was over, it was actually easier to move forward. And now my yard looks much better. One of my favorite stories that I've heard was in a documentary about Warren Buffett that I watched on HBO. And the secret to his success was when he discovered the magic of compound interest and how a little bit over time leads to tremendous wealth. And so each of these barriers, if you could master them a little bit at a time and allow them to compound over time, you are going to be light years beyond where you think you'll ever be, and you're going to be light years beyond your competition. So how do we get to what we want? Well, first, we need to identify a vision or a purpose or something that we want. We need to get past our barriers and start making piles. That way we can decide what to do next and act. I really hope that this episode has been helpful. It's really been in the back of my mind lately, and it's been really helpful for me to talk through and to really think about how it applies to my own life. I would encourage you to reach out to me if you need help in determining what piles you can make so that you can start acting. Send me an email. I'm chris@chrismartinstudios.com. I would love to hear from you and I would love to help you. That does it for this episode of Getting Work to Work. Thank you so much for taking the time to listen to this podcast. It means a lot to me that you're here. Would you be willing to share Getting Work to Work with your friends, other creative professionals, and entrepreneurs? You can send them to gwtw.co, where they can subscribe to Getting Work to Work on various platforms, sign up for the Curiosity Lab, my weekly email newsletter, and find the various social media links should they want to be social with me. Would you like to be a guest on a future episode of Getting Work to Work? Or maybe you need some advice? Drop me a line by sending me an email. I'm chris@chrismartinstudios.com. I never really thought about how important it is to get past our barriers by making piles, and I hope that this episode encourages you to do just that. That way you can make decisions to get closer to what you want. Until next time, may creativity and curiosity fuel your life.